Well, greetings and welcome to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast, where we seek to help people live in the reality of God's grace and love and the relevance of His impact on their lives. We want to be a church that understands the times. I think like never before, I've had people say to me, we need to understand the times, and I agree. And we need to do so with the worldview, the perspective of what the Bible teaches. We want to be those who respond biblically to cultural situations, who, as Romans 12, 1 to 2 would say, are so loyal to God because of His mercy to us that we're not conformed to the pattern of the world, whether it be mainstream media or the things we hear inundated with on the internet, but rather are transformed by the renewing of our minds, are those loyal to God, loyal to His word, loyal to one another, loyal to His bride. And yet, it's exhausting in this world to do that. In the last few years, through COVID and then the responses of people and interactions and divisions and disorientation that has happened in families and churches and the world, we have seen many feel like they are giving up on the run. The statistics I see of pastors, of elders, of churches struggling is higher than ever before in my ministry. Certainly not the first time this has been, but it's difficult. So in these times when so many are feeling like abandoning their families or their churches or giving up or stopping running, how do we respond? In other words, if we're to understand the times and we see people feeling like giving up on the most important things of their faith or following truths that are not in the Bible and sometimes even contrary to the Bible, how do we respond as those who want to stay loyal, to endure, to last, to fight on, to be faithful to the end? And I think one of the best places to go is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The context of this, the great chapter of faith in the Bible, the definition of faith is being certain of the existence of God and the fact that He rewards us, that His word is true, that what He says is right, that we need to think with that in mind in a world that promises other rewards. Hebrews 10, this interaction with a world that is falling apart, a culture, a government that is persecuting Christians and even those willingly with joy visiting others in prison for their faith, and finding the joy in seeing their goods, their life behind them, the worldly things being taken away. I think in the hard few years we've been through, the Hebrews 12, as the Hebrew people, this was being written to the scattered Jewish people, we can understand not only what they were going through, which is so much more intense than us, but we can use it to apply to what we're going through. So I want to read the text and just walk through it very briefly as one who is seeking to understand the times and respond biblically, not culturally. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the Hebrews 11 people, the men and women who have walked faithfully to God, lived as though He is real and relevant in everyday life, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's this lasting endurance, this willingness to keep fighting on God's way for God's glory. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You know, it was interesting. I had someone ask me the other day, why am I not preaching COVID and conspiracy more often? And the answer is because the Bible calls us to preach Christ and Him crucified, to preach the Word of God, to fixate on Jesus, not the things that jump around in the world, the endless controversies that are in the world. And we've sought to do that. And so I want to do that again today in this podcast and say, if we're to be those who endure, if we're to be those who don't become weary or faint-hearted, exhausted and give up or lack courage to stand firm for Jesus and to be those that are holy and loving and filled with the truth of God's word and living on mission for Him in a world that is seemingly moving further away from the Bible. How do we do that? And this text helps us. It's very relevant to what we're going through. So I hope that you can hear this. I know sometimes the loud horning of the world getting in on us is difficult, the loudspeaker blaring in our ears, but I hope God's word will echo through that and the soft whisper of God's word will clarify and clear out the other things that are there so that you can be one who is not weary, who is not faint-hearted, and stand firm and continue to love the bride of Christ and to live for the glory of God in what is so difficult. The first thing this text tells us is that there's this cloud of witnesses, that This is not the only time in history this has happened. People have to live by faith. And as you look through Hebrews 11, we won't take the time to do it, you'll find those who have, men and women, who have lived faithfully when they've succeeded and when they haven't. In fact, if you go up to verse 37 of chapter 11 from where we are in Hebrews 12, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, probably Isaiah. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. In other words, the earth is not our home. Our kingdom is in eternity. We walk by faith, and we know that what we will receive, this promise that we're sure of, is eternal. We're surrounded by people who have lived this before. This is not the first time in history that people have been accused of conspiracies, or the demonic realm has attacked, or the flesh and selfishness of humans has been so on display. This is not new. We can look back and learn from those who have lived faithfully to God and to His Word, even when everything around them was falling apart. We have this cloud of witnesses, this almost a stadium picture. It's a metaphor of a race that is going on that we're in, and this cloud of witnesses is cheering us on. We've done this. It can be done. It's possible. It's mission possible. Now he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. There's two things here. Every weight, most scholars, and I agree with them, would say that these are good things that distract us. These are things that you're carrying on the run. When they used to do this run, they would get rid of everything that would hinder them from running the race, the sporting event. They would run in such a way that they would win. And we often, as Christians, and this is why I think sometimes we do get weary and we do get faint-hearted, fill our lives with things that are not necessarily sinful, but distract us. And these distractions can cause us to be more concerned about things of the world than things of the Word, and cause us to lose heart and lose hope and lose sight of why we exist, and get so busy and so caught up in culture and politics and all of these things that we don't run with this joy. And we don't run with the courage to stand firm and let nothing move us. But it's not only these things that distract. It's not only these weights we're to lay aside, not necessarily sinful things, but things that we carry, some even good, that distract us from what is best, the glory of our God. But there's sin which clings so closely, or some translations entangles. It literally causes us to trip up. And I think this is important too. When the Word of God lays out how we're to live, if we choose to not live that way, that will cause us to stumble in the race and then to look around us and either judge others or in apathy give up, either focus on other things and fixate on other things so somehow we're better than others, or feel so bad about ourselves that we curl up in a little ball and remove ourselves and feel sorry for ourselves. And the answer to that is confession of that sin, forsaking that sin, repenting of it, and then running on. So if we were to ask this question, well, how do we do this? How do we stay strong and not grow weary and not give up or be courageous in our pursuit of God? Then the first answer, this cloud of witnesses cheering us. The second answer, we get rid of the things that get in the way of what is most important, to live as Christ, to die as gain. This one thing I do, those sort of texts calling us to live this life of faith. Oh, brother, oh, sister, if you're distracted, if you're disoriented, if you're weary and faint-hearted, go back and rejoice in those who have gone before you and been faithful. Choose to set aside things that are distracting you from what is most important and get rid of sin which is in your life. If you did the Romans 8 thing, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Put the deeds of the flesh to death. And that's not where this ends. There's a third thing. So we have this cloud of witnesses. We have this call to lay aside distractions and to lay aside sin, to repent of sin and turn our backs on it. But now we're to also turn our faces towards someone, looking to Jesus, fixating on Jesus. This passion now becomes the one who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who actually is the one we're to be most passionate about. Listen, if you're talking about worldly things more than you're talking about Jesus, you're missing the point of this text. You're not living in these times like you should. You're not understanding the times. You're being tricked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. This idea of looking to Jesus is to see him for who he is, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who gave us salvation in the gospel, the one who models for us how to run with perseverance in the midst of what was horrific for him. I love how it says this, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, that the worst pain possible. Now, often we just fixate on the physical pain, and it was horrific, but the spiritual pain was so much worse. Literally, the wrath of God being poured out on the Son of God. In my place he stood. This is despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew what was coming. He went through the conspiracy of the demonic, the conspiracy of the religious, the conspiracy of the Roman world, and he stood firm and he endured because he knew what was coming. And we need to follow that model. We need to consider him who endured from sinners such hostility from himself so that we can walk in that pathway. Listen, I know it's been a difficult couple of years for the world we live in. It's been a difficult couple of years for families who are divided over worldly things like COVID and response to COVID and vaccines and all of those things. I know it's been difficult for churches who have people leaving over masks or mandates or those sort of things. Let me be one who helps you understand the times. And I suppose this would go for any time. That's the wonderful thing about the timeless Word of God. If you're one who is living in a world that is not friendly to Christians, and that is the world, right? We're not to be friends of the world. We're to be followers of Jesus. Then here is a three-step process to not growing weary or faint-hearted, to standing courageous on the Word of God and keep on serving Him and His bride. Recognize that there are those who have gone before us that are cheering us on in the stands of life. They are this great cloud of witnesses who have been faithful in a world that is filled with distractions and disorientation. Remember those, learn about those, and follow in their path as they cheer us on. Lay aside distractions and the weight that is causing us not to run with that faithfulness. Get rid of things that are not necessarily evil in and of themselves, but distract you from delighting in God, and then deal with that sin that can wrap itself around your legs and cause you to stumble and hurt others around you and hurt your own race. Run that race with endurance. It's set before you. God is sovereign. He's given you a path to walk. And then thirdly, look to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. Don't stop. For every time you talk about something else, talk 10 times about Jesus. Listen, at Cloverdale Baptist, you know this. We will preach Christ and Him crucified. We will seek to understand the times, and in those times, to look to Jesus, to obey His word, so that we won't grow weary or faint-hearted, but live with hope, and then be ready to answer those around us who in this broken world ask us the reason for the hope that we have. God is real. He is relevant. He's called you to run with endurance a race, and He set it before you. He's got good works for you in it. Run on, dear Christian brother or sister. Don't grow weary or faint-hearted. Have courage. Stay faithful to God and His bride, and run on, run on, run on. Let's understand the times, but even more importantly, in those times, let's look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and let's live our lives to the praise of His glorious grace.